What happens when a Catholic deacon matches wits with a Catholic radio show host? You get a marriage made in heaven. They may not always agree, but they're always faithful. It's the Aikens with their View from the Pew on Modern Day Radio.
And welcome to this episode of View from the Pew. I'm your host, Brenda Aiken, and joining me as always is the man who's already got a jump on his winter lawn cleanup, the good deacon, Scott Aiken.
So my jump was not very far, and I recognize this year that I am not the spry young lad I used to be. So when I go out and work now, I have to be mindful not to throw my back out. So we hired someone to help this spring, and he's going to come in and do it up.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be happy to let him do it.
He is your Simon of Cyrene who has come to help yes. you carry this cross. There is quite a bit of work that needs to be done. I think for a lot of people, especially here in the Pacific Northwest, the wintertime is rough on the lawns. Leaves that come down, branches in some of these winter storms. We're going through one here recently. Even in between these really nice and mild winter and spring days we've gotten, but we do have this time, you know, when we look at this Lenten journey as this time of preparation. I was just sharing about how I really use and look at Holy Saturday as the day where I get a lot of prep work done inside the house, that I typically will have the TV off. I won't have music playing. My phone is definitely put away. And I just spend time on these projects because, you know, we've gone through Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and we're preparing for that beautiful Easter Vigil Mass that begins later this evening. But that we are tasked with things. Right. And it's all part of this preparation. And so while it is funny that, you know, you have somebody to help you do the yard work, we are by God's creation and design meant to work. We are meant to do things. And it's we do these things to help in our house, provide for our family. But in turn, we also work and do things and help prepare the community for what's about to happen.
Right. I just told our students this week that 3 weeks from this Saturday will be Easter Vigil. So how do we prepare for that? And Father Kyle over here in Vancouver spoke at our Mass. He celebrated our Mass and had a great homily on the foundation that we build on the foundation. And that takes sometimes the longest to do. The building itself that we might build on that foundation goes up pretty quick. But we need to build that foundation. And I think for us in our cycles of the seasons of our life, we're having to shore up foundations. We're having to revisit and rebuild foundations. So for our yard, here's my quantum leap example.
Okay.
The foundation of the yard for it to be beautiful in the spring and summertime requires that spring cleaning. And I used to look forward to that. And doesn't mean I don't look forward to it now, but I had to vicariously live through someone else to do that for me. And that just is a good reminder of the humility as we grow in our lives and our seasons of life that we have to be humble and slowly let things go that we might have done with zeal before and pick up new things that we now have new zeal for and adopt those. So, yeah, it's a good change.
It is a good change. And I'll tell you this, there was a lot more humility in you having to ask somebody else to come in and help you than when you relinquish some of that work to our children, who were, in fact, a good source of I wouldn't say free labor. They, you know, had to work to earn spending money. And so they would have their chores around the house. Our son had to do all that yard work as well to help out. But in turn, he was rewarded for his good efforts. Sometimes the reward was a little bit bigger than the good effort that it was. Scott, one of the themes that we've been talking about is preparation, not just for what's happening now or this week or at the end of Easter, but we start to look long-term wise as well. Then we reflect during this Lenten season to make sure that there are many things that are getting ready and prepared for. Recently, we met with our Knights of Columbus life insurance representative to make sure that, well, our children were prepared for in the case of our death and into the future for ourselves. And that brings us to today's topic, because I always enjoy On the Morning Blend when our good friend Ashley Michikay joins us. She is the managing principal at True North Retirement Advisors. We had a great discussion this week because it really pertained a lot, Scott, to you and I, because we, and you especially, because we've talked about this as well, are getting close to these retirement years. You set aside your federal work to take up the Seton Catholic High School teaching position because, well, we weren't quite there yet. So our guest today is Ashley, because she's going to be talking specifically about how our generation, Scott, and you and I are both Gen X, how our retirement and the way that we approach it is going to look different than the boomers who are retired or retiring right now during these years. So it's a great conversation. I learned so much.
Then after that, we'll talk about how maybe our retirement foundation differs from our parents by virtue of the culture in which we were raised in, different from those who were raised prior to us.
So this is a great conversation coming up ahead on this week's View from the Pew. So stay with us.
There is a season
Please join me, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, and other listeners of Modern Day E-Radio as we pray an act of hope. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh my God, relying on your infinite mercy and promises, I hope to obtain pardon of my sins, the help of your grace, and everlasting life through the merits of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Redeemer. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
For more prayer resources, and to let us know how we can pray for your intentions, please visit us at materdeiradio.com and click prayer, or call our prayer hotline at 503-285-3737. That's 503-285-3737.
Jesus came to point us to Mount Zion. Yes, Jesus encouraged us towards a mountaintop experience there with God our Father. Mount Zion is a hill, a peak, also called the City of David, the home of the Great Temple, also called Jerusalem. The prophet Isaiah called it the holiest place. Jesus in his ministry provided instructions, the good news, about reaching this holy place. Pray, give thanks and praise to our Father in heaven. Show compassion and mercy to others. Be joyful, forgive, share with those in need. It is then that we become a new person in Christ. We rise up to the mountaintop experience of Mount Zion, living in a new Jerusalem, to enjoy our time in the holiest of places, now, with God in the kingdom of heaven. This has been a bit of Catholic encouragement from Michael Gisande.
One of the many ways you can help Mater Dei Radio is by supporting our Leadership Circle members. These are businesses and organizations whose names you hear on the air every day. They believe in our mission of providing the region with positive Catholic radio programs. Our Leadership Circle members keep our broadcast strong through their financial generosity. How can you find out more about our Leadership Circle members? Go to our website at materdeiradio.com and click on the Get Involved menu. You'll be learning about a great group of people.
It's Deacon Scott and Brenda Aiken with their View from the Pew on Mater Dei Radio.
It's always a great morning when Ashley Michikay joins us from True North Retirement Advisors. She's always a wealth of information to tell us about making sure we've got our ducks in a row when it comes to looking towards our retirement. But what is very interesting today, we're going to talk about how generationally and specifically Gen Xers, how we're going to retire differently than the boomers who are retiring now. Ashley is joining us today to tell us a little bit about how my retirement is going to look different than actually my brothers. Good morning, Ashley. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Good morning, Brenna. Thank you so much for having me.
Ashley, when you offered me the options for our discussion today, I said, I absolutely need to know about Gen X and retirement. I fall right in it. I was born in the late 60s. I went into high school during the 80s, and that formed a lot of my thought about the world and my future versus where my oldest brother, well, he's a boomer, so our retirements are going to look differently, you say. So first question for our listeners, what age group are we talking about when we look at Generation X?
Yes. So Generation X technically are people born between the age of 1965 and 1980. And so but because it's such a wide range of years, you have older Gen Xers who might identify more as boomers, and then you have younger Gen Xers who kind of might fit in more into the millennial category and some of the characteristics that define the millennials, which came right after them. But technically, anyone born 1965 to 1980, they're kind of now in the home stretch to retirement. I mean, the oldest Xers are right at retirement age, and many of them are already retired. And the younger Gen Xers, born in 1980, you know, they're in their mid to late 40s now and are starting to think seriously about what the next 15 to 20 years looks like before retirement.
All right, Ashley, I can definitely realize that the years that I look forward to for my retirement, they are very close. And I do think that, especially as I said, you know, those of us who were in high school, maybe during the 80s, the later 80s, and even like maybe right around the, you know, 90 and early 90s, we view not just retirement, but our outlook on life just a little differently than boomers did. So how is that going to be reflected in how we view retirement years?
Yes, there are a few key generational differences that set Gen Xers apart. And a couple of them happened in their formative childhood years. So Gen X is the first generation to experience both parents working in large numbers, and their parents were also the first generation to get divorced at significantly higher rates. And actually, when I was researching this topic for my podcast, I discovered that the divorce rate more than doubled during Gen X's childhood. And so as a result of a lot of parents working, divorce, as much as 40% of Gen Xers were latchkey kids. And so, you know, they'd come home from school, make themselves a snack, get their homework done. Mom and dad are not around. And so independence and fierce independence is a really common Gen X trait. So they learned to be very self-reliant as a generation from a pretty early age. And that has actually served them quite well. They also tend to be more skeptical and distrustful, particularly of institutions. So that sort of shaped how the decisions that they make as they sort of move through the decades of life. But they're generally, as a generation, they tend to be more independent. They're pretty hardworking. And they're pretty dependable. So like often they're the person you go to at work. If you have a problem, they're gladly going to help you fix it. And they always seem to find a way. They're very resourceful because they grew up having to be that way as latchkey kids.
You know what? I am smiling so much. Those are great compliments. In fact, I even talked to my own children who were like, nobody ever has anything bad to say about Gen Xers. And I'm like, yeah, well, that's because we're kind of awesome people, that's for sure. Now, though, the world is different, too, when we look at how people have, especially boomers who are retired or just eminently retiring, you know, what they see as a nest egg versus what Gen Xers, especially the younger ones who still are, you know, strong in the workforce. Is that going to look a lot differently, what Gen Xers will need to have in order to last them the rest of the life versus what boomers are looking at right now as they need in retirement years?
Yes. So there's a few key differences here. And boomers have largely benefited, especially in the last 10 to 15 years or so. If you look at the fact that the boomers who are still working are in late stage of their career, they're earning more than they ever have, they're seeing their house value go up, they're seeing their investment portfolio, their 401k grow tremendously, even in just the last 5 years. So Gen Xers who own a home or are saving in their 401k, they've obviously benefited from that too. But boomers, because they were further along and had more saved at that point, they've really seen as a generation an explosion in their wealth in just the last several years. And they are the wealthiest generation ever. And they are likely to be more wealthy than Gen Xers. So Gen Xers had a few interesting things that happened early in their career. So if you rewind back to 2000 to 2013 period, we had a couple of serious recessions and significant drops in the stock market. And so that was when Gen Xers were establishing themselves, trying to just get started in terms of buying a house, investing in their 401k. Boomers suffered through that too, but they were a little bit further along in terms of building wealth. So what has happened, if you kind of fast forward, it's interesting because these key periods like the housing crisis in 08, you fast forward to today and the hangover from that is still with us. So today as a generation, Gen X tends to have higher debt compared to boomers. They're more likely to carry a mortgage and they have less assets, lower net worth compared to boomers at the same point and stage of life. So they're entering their retirement years with a little bit more debt, a little bit lower net worth. Another key difference, well, there's two actually. One is healthcare. So healthcare costs have been rising and is a huge expense for baby boomers. But Gen Xers face even higher healthcare costs with no relief in sight. And so that's a significant challenge. And so what I see with a lot of my Gen X clients is that they tend to put off retirement longer just because they know that healthcare costs are expensive. A lot of them also had children a bit later compared to their boomers. And so, you might be coming up on retirement and you're having to navigate, well, am I going to retire? But then you also have children who are still in high school or college. You're still providing financial support for them. And then the other key difference is pensions. Mm. So it's a lot more common for boomers to have a pension compared to Gen Xers. It's pretty much, unless you work, especially if you work in the private sector, pensions are pretty much gone. So whereas boomers, it has been trending lower. It's a lot less common. There are still lots of boomers who have some type of pension, and we're just not seeing that. I don't see that among my own clients for Gen Xers or anybody younger than them.
Oh, this is all really good information. And again, everything that you're talking about is ringing in my head going, yep, that's us. Yes, that is us for sure, too. And so while we have this outlook on the life, boy, looking into these retirement years, and whereas maybe a previous generation, 62 retirement, 65 for sure, Gen Xers, we now are looking at that maybe 67 year mark also. So we've got years to get through still. All great information, Ashley, as always. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Brenda.
Again, that is Ashley Michikay. She is Managing Principal at True North Retirement Advisor and Leadership Circle member here at Mater Dei Radio. I'll be sure to add a link that'll get you right to True North Retirement. You could read more information there. And you find that link on the podcast of today's interview at materdeiradio.com and the Hail Mary Media app.
Go on, take a money and run.
Scott, I find it incredibly fascinating to look at the characteristics of all of the generations of people and how the outside influences, not just in their households or in their community, but how world events shape the way we think and view about our own lives and how secure we feel in our retirement years or in our current jobs. And at the same time, as Catholics, we are constantly having to remind ourselves that there is nothing that we have in our lives that isn't a gift from God. And people are on all different levels of that spectrum. And those who are suffering wonder why I'm in this position that I'm in. And you know, for those who are living comfortably, maybe don't ever even think about it at all. But for you and I, and we try to instill in our family this idea of preparation, like we were talking about in the beginning, that, yeah, it's important for us to make sure that we are preparing. And that was a great conversation to look and realize how you and I, shaped by how our parents raised us, our view of the world, and the way we practice our faith, is what is directly influencing our decisions about things like retirement.
Which leads me back to our opening statement with regard to having to hire someone to clean the yard. There is a cheapness in me, some would call, but I think it's more frugal, that really comes from the culture of our parents. My parents were born right in the middle of the Great Depression. So they learned a lot of their skills from trying to maintain and build a foundation during a time of scarcity. And certainly in our lifetimes, we have been affected by that, but we've been in a world full of abundance. And so what I do know and what I would share with folks that are listening is that change is our life. The only permanence we have in our life is the love of God. That is truly the only permanence that we have, is that knowing that God loves me. So how do I live my life from the teenage years that I teach now and to the young adulthood who has no care for retirement typically, who then you suddenly are finding yourself like we are at the end of our career going, wow, I'm glad that our parents gave us the skills that we have. And our skills that we're bringing are changed from the skill that they taught us out of necessity for the culture and community we live in. So I just think that whole dynamic is just an awareness that change is something we grow to, in our wisdom that God gives us, to accept and to trust that throughout all that change, God is with us and loves us and cares for the least things that we might forget. He's there caring for us in that moment. So I just think it's, you know, the great connections that we can make. Hearing her talk about how the difference in view is, that's the root of the embodied spirit that we as an individual and as a Gen Xer, Gen Z, boomer,
millennials,
those traits are, it's part of our embodied spirit, the place, time, and culture that I came from, the place, time, and culture that you came from. And for those that are listening, each one of us has a fingerprint that is unique of the place, time, and culture that the church recognizes as our embodied spirit. But we are changing with the times as need comes. And so our foundations must adjust to that. So I just think it's very powerful for our time of our life to make connections that we only just kind of blasé listened to when we were 20-something. We're very aware of it now.
And in more ways than one, because life experience has given us a different view over the years. And now we have raised children who are raising their children. And we see them and we realize that, you know, their outlook on life is almost like, I'm going to live forever. They're so young and they have so many years ahead of them. And we had that thought at one time that, well, this is just going to, we're just going to live forever. Why do we have to think about that now? Maybe God gently reminds us that those years that you have on earth, whether they're short or very long, is but a speck of time when compared to heaven and eternity, that this is a fleeting, what we do here. And so while we all have it in perspective and we want to live comfortably in this life, we're not meant for this world. We're meant for heaven. And that's everything that we do here should be focusing us to that end goal.
And as disciples following Christ, Jesus reminds the disciples in their time of immaturity and impetuousness as they were coming into becoming the disciples that he was calling them to be. He said to them, know that there will come a time where you'll be led where you do not want to go, and someone else will dress you. And he's saying that to the disciples of the martyrdom that they will have to suffer. But he says that, I think, to all of us, that we live a life in community, and our dependence on community is the value that we bring forward as disciples, not the isolation of the retiree who can survive no matter. No, we should become more and more dependent on community, because that is our salvation, is to be in community with God forever.
Oh, and we look to that forever, especially during this Lenten season, and look forward to that beautiful Easter morning when we all rise again with Christ. Scott, before we go today, will you end us in prayer?
Lord, we are grateful for the life that you have given us, for the abundance that you have given us. We ask for patience during this Lenten season of ourselves and of our families, that we know that you are leading us to the place of hope and salvation. May we do that patiently. May we do that with mercy. And we do that with great hope that you have risen and you have invited us into your Father's house. We ask this all in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And that is going to wrap it up for us this week. Please tune in next week as we share with you more stories about our faith, our family, and our view from the pew.
Continue to persevere this Lenten season. God bless.
You've been listening to View from the Pew, a weekly look at faith and family life from a Catholic perspective with Deacon Scott and Brenda Aiken. For more information on the Aikens and to listen to an archive of their previous shows, visit them online at materdeiradio.com/pew. View from the Pew is produced at the studios of Mater Dei Radio in Portland, Oregon.